the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
I can't go to a school anymore. I used to go to a lot of schools. And you see all these little kids running around. Can't talk about it.
Why?
Making sure that these kids have a shot at the American dream, like I did. It's important.
I spent my whole life chasing the American dream. There are a lot of my colleagues that have heard me make this statement that I didn't come here to be a congressman. I came here to do something. And I think at the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list. After 3,000 of our fellow citizens died at the hands of these terrorists, when are we going to stand up and take them on?
The voice of the world, the sound with the beat, the sound that sets you tapping your feet. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
What in God's name is that? Was that new? The new one?
Is that Boehner?
Is that terrorist thing?
Yeah, no, that's old. That's old.
But okay, I all of his crying runs together after a while. The first one I recognized, the second one I didn't.
Just makes me laugh and laugh and laugh. Doesn't matter what he's talking about.
He's just a buffoon.
I was thinking John Boehner today. There's some John Boehner stuff in the news today, of course. Hey, hi, how you doing? It's Wednesday. It's May 15th, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez, brought to you every week by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius, the best damn soap in the universe. We're also brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. It's below the logo. If you want to go shopping at Amazon, don't type in Amazon.com into your browser window. Go to BobSeska.com, then click the Amazon link. It takes you right to the front page of Amazon, so you can do all of your shopping there. Plus, then we get a small commission. It supports the show. It supports the blog and all that stuff. Sure beats asking you for money with fundraisers and all that crap.
Right, which I still do.
Yeah. And we're brought to you every week by Dead Star Twilight, Chez Pazienza's riveting memoirs. You can download them. You can get it through the Amazon link, or you can download it at deusexmalcontent.com.
Yep.
So where to begin this week? I guess, you know, John Boehner stepped into the whole mess with the IRS. I didn't intend to rhyme that. But since we're talking about John Boehner crying, he didn't cry today. It was just disappointing. But he said in a press conference, he said, "My question isn't about who's going to resign. My question is, who's going to jail over this scandal?" So he's ready to duck march people out of the Frog March?
Frog March.
Yeah, he's ready to duck march.
Duck march.
Ready to frog march people out right. of internal revenue.
The people, right. The people behind Iraq are free. None of them have been, you know, Dick Cheney is offering his freaking opinions on television instead of being put up against the wall behind The Hague.
Mm.
And yet, of course, these idiots are talking about arrests and, of course, impeachment.
Yeah, that's right. It's Iraq. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's like the centerpiece. Iraq becomes kind of the biggest heap of crap that the Republicans were, you know, foisted upon the world and then got away with. We're not held accountable whatsoever. Well, you could say that maybe the 2006 midterm elections was some accountability, but no, they're fine. They're fine. No one's been arrested because of misinformation leading to the Iraq war. No one.
And all the other horrible, horrible things that had to do with that during the Bush administration. You know, the outing of Valerie Plame and just all the truly horrific things. You know, and I think you pointed it out at Banter this week. No one's saying that no one's giving anybody a pass for the IRS scandal or AP or any of that, or, you know, no one's saying don't look into that and that there isn't a story there, only that the outrage is just ridiculous. Mm. The outrage from the right is disgustingly hypocritical and disingenuous.
Yeah, yeah, and it's on everything. I mean, it is literally everything on all of these three dueling scandals, and you know, it's difficult to know exactly which one to start with on the show this week. So, I mean, since we're talking about the IRS thing, let's talk about the IRS. Let's talk about the Republicans, too. Let's figure out where this all began, how this started. And all roads in this IRS scandal lead back to Citizens United. I'm not the only one to have written about this week. Tom Hartman got a laugh at Political Carnival, also wrote about this. It's because it's obvious. Why are there all of these social welfare groups? I'm doing quotes around social welfare groups that are actually political action groups applying for tax exempt status.
Yeah.
And then how do you weed out the ones who are obviously not qualified to have tax exempt status? How do you go through all of that? Well, you use search terms and you weed them out. So, but the reason they exist, the reason there are all these political groups signing up as social welfare groups, the blurring of the line between, you know, 527s, which is what we've talked about for years, these outside independent groups that release all of these crazy ads and everything around election time. Where's the line? The line's been blurred because of Citizens United. Because now Citizens United opened the door to allow any organization whatsoever to engage in political speech, because money is speech, etc. So now they can do it, but there's a limit to that. So you can be a social welfare group, sign up as a nonprofit, basically, and do a little bit of political campaigning, like Karl Rove did. Some of the Democratic organizations did this, and still get tax exempt status. It's remarkable. I mean, Stephen Colbert blew the lid off of all of this with his Colbert PAC thing. Last year. I mean, it was brilliant, but I mean, he basically outlined and detailed in exhaustive detail how you can do this and get away with all of this money without any reporting of who's giving it to you and without paying a cent in taxes. That's how this all started. That's how this all started. And so a couple of guys in Cincinnati decided, well, you know what? We're going to single out, and this is the stupid thing. Admittedly, this was dumb. They singled out the search terms Tea Party, Patriot, some of the buzzwords we've talked about on this show recently. You know, like Patriot, like Tea Party, Patriot.
Right, that idiocy.
How they branded that word.
Yeah, Patriot. Yeah, Patriot's a negative connotation for me now, and I think a lot of other people.
Yeah. So so that's what I mean. That's what they did. That's admittedly the mistake. But
because
there is
Patriot means Patriot, quite frankly, means asshole. That's what it. That's the translation now.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. Yeah. I mean, they've branded it and they've made it into this sort of machismo flag waving. What I think is actually masking a degree of cowardice. They're so terrified of the evildoers that they're willing to allow anything to occur, any trespass against civil liberties, civil rights, Constitution, except the Second Amendment. Second Amendment, yeah, it's, can't touch that. But everything else is fair game.
Right.
So, so where are we now? So it's, you know, Bloomberg reports today, and they said that there are actually some Democratic organizations received the same IRS letters as these Tea Party groups. So some similar scrutiny was applied to Democratic groups as was applied to the Tea Party groups. Internal Revenue Service from Bloomberg. IRS, under pressure after admitting it targeted anti-tax Tea Party groups for scrutiny in recent years, also had its eye on at least three Democratic-leaning organizations seeking nonprofit status. One of those groups, Emerge America, saw its tax-exempt status denied, forcing it to disclose its donors and pay some taxes. Well, that's unusual because not a single one of the Tea Party groups were denied tax-exempt status. They all were approved.
Right.
So, yeah, they were scrutinized, but they were all approved, for God's sake.
Right.
None of the Republican groups, this is from Bloomberg, I'm not making this up, none of the Republican groups have said their applications were rejected. Progress Texas, another of the organizations, faced the same lines of questioning as deep Tea Party groups from the same IRS office that issued letters to the Republican-friendly applicants. A third group, Clean Elections Texas, which supports public funding of campaigns, also received IRS inquiries.
Right. I mean, you would expect the IRS to look into these groups. Yeah. You really would.
Yeah. But again, you know what? You
start, the rules have been bent to begin with.
You start digging into this bureaucratic sausage making, and you look at something in a bubble. You look at something through a keyhole, right? And you're going to see weird stuff. Because it is, I mean, my dad was in the federal government for his entire career, for 40 years, 30 years. And, you know, he familiarized me with the notion of bureaucratic jargon. Like, there's an entire, like, language. It's almost like a coded language that the federal government deals in. And all kinds of regulations and redundancies and things that they have to detail in these reports and systems that they use that, from the outside, look really confusing and could be seen as suspicious.
Right.
But then when you actually begin to adapt yourself to the jargon and you begin to look at how the entire system functions, then it becomes more clear as to what was going on. Now, certainly, yeah. I do believe that, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, Chez, that they got to take a look and see what these guys were up to. And if they really were motivated by politics to examine and single out these Tea Party groups for additional scrutiny. And I think they're going to do that. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, this is not like the Valerie Plame situation or the warrantless wiretapping situation or the Iraq situation or, let's see what else, the 9/11 situation. The list goes on and on, in which every administration official in the previous administration denied wrongdoing, resisted investigation, and basically stonewalled any sort of inquiries about it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, you made a point that, you know, sorry, it's not an unfair point. It's a very fair point that when it comes down on the other side, at least certainly this time, you know, when it's the Democrats who are being accused of things, they tend to a lot of times roll over and say, all right, look, you know what? We welcome an investigation, you know, bring it on. Let's see what really went wrong. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of attempts to sort of to because they need to. God, you know, the Democrats are always about creating that show of fairness. Mm-hmm. They're so into that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's going to be like, all right, look, you know what? We welcome this, as opposed to whenever it happens on the other side, it's this screw you, stonewalling. We don't care, bullying, and that's it. That's what you get.
Yeah, precisely. Precisely. I mean, how many times did we hear in the Bush administration, we're not going to comment on an ongoing investigation?
Yep.
We heard that like every day. It was every day. Yeah. You know, and that brings us into the next scandal, which is the AP phone records subpoena situation.
Yeah.
Which, again, you know, I'm not going to deny that there's a First Amendment issue here. I think there needs to be some protections in place for the press because of the First Amendment.
This White House is very big on leaks.
Yeah. So they've been trying to plug leaks, and they've been trying to, I mean, there is, you know, laws about leaking.
Right.
And but at the same time, when it comes to the press, they have to be really careful. And the mistake here was that they cast too broad a net.
Yeah, definitely.
So that, but all of that said, you know, this is just, again, another situation where you can't help but to wonder how this all began, where it all started. And, you know, you got to go back to this, you know, surveillance security state that was instituted, basically embedded in American politics, in American civilization throughout the entire previous administration, where this became a matter of routine. I mean, the previous administration actually did this sort of thing where they seized phone records without even issuing a subpoena.
Right.
I mean, they just dived in with both feet, grabbed up phone records from the New York Times and the Washington Post. I think four different reporters were scrutinized by the FBI, the Justice Department. In this situation, FBI agents said they might follow up with subpoenas from a U.S. attorney, but they never actually went ahead and issued a subpoena. They just went ahead and seized these records, and they used a national security letter called exigent circumstances letter in order to get these records. God. And then, you know, the hilarious thing to me, well, and the not surprising thing to me is today on Morning Joe, they had Alberto Gonzalez on Morning Joe.
Of course.
Right. Said today on the Morning Joe program that the Bush administration once considered using the type of subpoena that the Justice Department issued against the Associated Press, but ultimately opted against it. There was at least one occasion, Gonzalez said, in which we were engaged in a very serious leak investigation, and we had to make some very difficult choices about whether or not to move forward going after the reporters in order to try to figure out where the source of the leak is. And sometimes the department finds itself in a situation where they have exhausted all means and have to make a very hard determination as to whether or not they want to subpoena the reporter. If they want to subpoena the reporter's notes, so yes, I've had that situation. In the instance that I have in mind, we ultimately decided not to move forward. Well, he's lying. They did move forward, and they didn't. And, well, I guess he isn't lying because they didn't use a subpoena, just like he said. But I think he meant to imply that they didn't investigate reporters and seize phone records, which in fact they did. They did. Mm-hmm. It was all part of the Valerie Plame situation. But I mean, these are the guys that started the ball rolling. They set the chain reaction in motion that gave us all of this crapola. So we're going to continue talking about more scandal after a quick break, back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Kerry Show.
Okay. So now, the latest line that we're hearing, which is predictable, is Obama is worse than Nixon. This is water. What?
Right.
That's hilarious. That's my reaction precisely.
No, of course. It's the worst scandal in history. How many times have I heard that over the past, few days?
Yeah. So, like,
Benghazi and this is the worst thing ever. It's the worst scandal since whatever. Worse than Watergate. Which basically is great because they've been looking for some kind of a way to absolve Nixon from being, like, the worst president ever.
Well, they've just been constantly looking for payback. That was the entire Clinton administration. They were just trying to find some way.
This is the thing. This isn't over. I mean, it's not going to end. They're going to impeach him. It's going to happen. Didn't we predict that?
No, yeah.
They're going to find a way. And this is it. This is what the next couple of years are going to be like. It's just going to be dragged out. And not only are they going to try to do that, but they're going to try to do whatever they can to burn people out on Hillary Clinton, too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
because she's the magic bullet that's going to kill them.
You know, and then today, what was yesterday, Michael Mukasey, who was the attorney general, the last Bush attorney general, commented on the AP scandal and called it reprehensible behavior. This is the guy who lapsed into tears. I mean, he collapsed into tears in public because Congress was resisting his demand to allow the government, allow the White House to warrantlessly wiretap American citizens, or else the evildoers would strike us with another 9/11. He actually cried, Michael Mukasey, and he has the nerve to go on television and say that it's reprehensible behavior to use a subpoena to attain phone records. When in fact he didn't want to do it. He wanted to actually be able to listen into phone conversations.
Right.
And do
well,
it.
He's right. That's what he says. It's reprehensible to go through the proper channels.
That's right. Yeah, maybe they're living in an alternate universe. Maybe actually going through channels. Maybe that's what Gonzalez was talking about. Yeah. Going through proper channels. It's a big mistake. You just go in there and do it. Yeah. Take them.
Yeah. I mean, this is what, you know, and I think Stewart made the comment a couple days ago. I mean, like, this is why Obama has had to watch every single step that he makes, and why for a while he's been able to do that, because basically all they've come up with against him, all of it's been crap. None of it's stuck. None of it's been anything worthwhile. And I really think that in the great scheme of things, most of this won't really stick either.
Yeah.
But they'll hammer it until it does.
Well, you know, and
at least this is something real.
I mean, I kind of think John Stewart was also a little bit unfair too in his assessment of the president himself, because I mean, what Barack Obama is supposed to keep an eye on and micromanage a Cincinnati office of the IRS? Is that what he's supposed to
do? No. But I get what the point was, though, and the point was these people are going to find anything. So more than I mean, you know what? I'm trying to think of who there was a comic who made that joke a while ago, who said that, like, you know, when you're, I mean, I'm not genuinely, I don't mean to bring race into this, but, like, you know, when you're a black guy, you have to make sure you never screw up. If you get to a place of power, you have to be on your game 24/7 and never screw up, because they're going to look for an excuse to hang you.
Yeah.
They're going to, you know, figuratively speaking, they're going to look for, you know, they're going to look for something to say that you're incompetent.
That's right.
You're not any good.
Well, that's why anytime the president raises his voice or gets a little bit, just skews a tiny bit towards actually getting angry about something.
Yeah, he's angry black man.
Angry black man. Uppity black man. Yeah, uppity black man.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't win.
So this is evidently, this AP thing is worse than Watergate. Worse than Watergate, where the president actually set up wiretappings, smear campaigns, break-ins. They actually, there were these guys, these covert operatives, all working out of the White House, called plumbers, and they would go around and they would break into psychologists' offices and try to get, you know, leak information that was damaging towards Democrats. They leaked information about, who was it, Muskie and his electroshock therapy or something like that. I mean, they actually destroyed candidates for president. You know, these were guys who were trained assassins, G. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of guys, these creepy guys. And, you know, strangely enough, they worked under the banner of Creep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Committee to reelect. And so they, and ultimately what they got nabbed doing was bugging the Democratic National Headquarters at the Watergate Hotel. They went in, they broke in, they tried to put listening devices in there. This is nothing like this. The Justice Department used a subpoena to get phone records from telecom companies about what the AP was up to. Now, again, I go back to my qualifier, which is too broad a net. You guys got to be careful when it comes to the press, seriously.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, what we're talking about is degree of scandal here. Is this as rotten as Watergate? Not a chance in hell.
No, where this is not.
The president knew. The president actually orchestrated. He knew. I was just channeling Heather Wilson. You knew about Janet Jackson's nipple. The president knew at the time. In fact, he was guiding these people in terms of what to do. 18 minutes of missing audio recordings from the White House.
I mean, you don't want enough to convince me. That's absolutely true. I mean, it's ludicrous to anybody who's got a brain who doesn't have an agenda. And that agenda is that they want to see Barack Obama fail no matter what.
That's right.
You know, it's one thing to say, look, this is a serious thing and it needs to be looked into. And this shouldn't be just swept under the rug and, you know, pay no attention to this. No, that's ridiculous. But yeah, to make the claim that this is worse right now, with what we know right now, that this is worse than Watergate, the same way that, you know, these idiots are saying that Benghazi was worse than 9/11. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It really is.
And it is, but the problem is, though, and you know, the thing that bothers me the most is that they have very little power in government. And yet, amazingly, they have been able to just hamstring this entire country.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the entire, whenever there's a scandal like this, and now there's three of them happening concurrently, whenever there's a scandal like this, the Republicans and their enablers in the press, and make no mistake, the press enables this stuff, and we're going to talk about how so when we get into Benghazi in the next segment. That it completely sidetracks everything. I mean, the president calling this a distraction is exactly right. I mean, there was a mass shooting on Sunday. A mass shooting. 18 people were shot. 17 people were shot in New Orleans.
Right.
During a Mother's Day parade. And you know what the headline was at, bless its heart, the Huffington Post. You know what the headline was on Sunday?
I remember. What was it?
Seth Meyers takes over late night.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Seth Meyers.
That was the big banner.
I remember looking at that going, because that, believe it or not, you know, look, anybody who's in news will tell you that the way that you tell whether a story is big is you obviously go and find an outlet that you trust. And I won't say that I trust the Huffington Post, but I just happened to, you know, that happened to be one of the first places I went. And it was, yeah, Seth Meyer was the headline, big, bold letters. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess what happened in New Orleans is not that big a deal.
Yeah, must not have been a real gun. It was actually, yeah. There were actually two shooters, from what I'm aware.
Yeah, I mean, that's, really? Seth Meyer. Taking over late night is a bigger deal than that? Okay, well.
Oh, God. Yeah, but I mean, that's just an example. The fact of the matter is that everyone is sidetracked by this, by these scandals. And if they actually took a serious look at what was going on, it's not that huge. I mean, the IRS thing is going to turn out to be a big nothing. I don't think any. I mean, and everyone's saying, even liberals. I mean, Josh Marshall, who's one of my favorite political writers, you know, kind of looked at the IRS thing and said, you know, this is going to be the one. They're going to get them on it. And you know what? They might. They still might. I mean, because they've turned smaller things into bigger things before.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. That's the problem. They're not going to let it go. They're never going to let it go.
And you know what else is they entirely glossed over? What should also be a big scandal this week, and that is ABC News. And we're going to talk about that after a break, back after this. This here podcast, the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show, is called the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show because we're brought to you every week by BubbleGenius.com. You say, what the hell is Bubble Genius? Well, it's the best bath and body products you could ever imagine purchasing. And it's good stuff. Makes you feel good, makes you smell good, gets you nice and clean, and it makes you feel good inside, too, because it's woman-owned, it's vegan, it's independently marketed and produced. Couple of people sit in their mad scientist lab and make the best soap in the world. You want to go try it out at bubblegenius.com, and we'll have a promo code for you after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
So when you go to BubbleGenius.com and you buy all of your soap products, don't check out until you've entered the promo code that'll get you 15% off your entire order. Just type in, when you check out, type in Bob and Chez, B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, and that's exclusive to everyone who listens to this show. So no one else gets that information. We don't post it on the blog or anyplace else. It's just for you. Isn't that great? Yeah, I think it's
great. Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So what I thought should have been an actual scandal here, but turns out no one even, you know, there was a little bit of uproar about it when Jake Tapper first issued this this post on CNN, but then it turned out to be, you know, ignored and glossed over and no one cared. So what happened was, and in fact, I wrote a piece about this in the Daily Banter. The whole thing about the Benghazi emails and the editing of the talking points, one of the worst bits of reporting I've seen in a long time, especially from a legitimate news organization like ABC News.
Yeah, I saw you getting pissed about it. I got to be honest, I've been swamped, so I missed some things this week.
Well, here's the background of it. ABC News, Jonathan Carl is the
Jonathan Carl, right? Yeah, I know you. I saw you say that Jonathan Carl was patting himself on the back for it.
Yeah, he's the chief White House correspondent. This is ABC News' main guy in the White House, Jonathan Carl. And he ballyhoos this giant exclusive on ABCNews.com that they've got these talking points that were batted around by the CIA and the State Department about what Susan Rice should say on those Sunday shows right after the Benghazi 9/11 attack. All right, so, but the way it's presented by Jonathan Carl, there were a couple of really big red flags here. First, Jonathan Carl said that this was an exclusive. It wasn't an exclusive. Stephen Hayes from the Weekly Standard had it before he did. So it can't be an exclusive if you say later in the piece that this is all based on something that Stephen Hayes, a wingnut from the Weekly Standard, had posted already. Secondly,
yes, it's an exclusive. Only us and everyone else in the world has it.
That's right, including members of Congress, including stuff that General Petraeus, David Petraeus, had said in public hearings back in November. All of this information about these emails and these talking points was already out there. All right, but they actually had emails, so they said. Okay, next thing was they made it seem as if there was a cover-up insofar as the State Department removed information about CIA warnings prior to the attacks. So, oh, look, the State Department and the Obama administration is trying to cover up the fact that they were warned. They knew that they were going to be attacked at the consulate in Benghazi and did nothing to stop it. Well, if you actually read the emails, the line about there was one warning from the CIA, and it came in on September 10th, the day before, and that line was extracted from the email. But you know what it was about?
Right.
It wasn't about Benghazi. It was about Cairo. It was a warning about attacks on the embassy in Cairo. Mm-hmm. Where we actually did send additional security. The administration sent additional people there to protect the embassy in Cairo based on this warning. And I know this because it was in the Wall Street Journal. I just, you know, you type in additional security, Cairo embassy, you know, internet video, et cetera, and you get information that says there was additional security sent to Cairo. Not Benghazi. I mean, Benghazi, there were no warnings about Benghazi. stripped out of that email. But ABC News made it seem as if there were.
Right.
Thus feeding all of these, you know, wingnut trolls and Benghazi gate conspiracy theorists.
Well, yeah, I mean, see, that's the problem. I mean, you want real reporting. You know, you don't, yeah. Political considerations should not be a consideration for someone who's reporting on something. And yet, it makes you cringe because you really do think, you know, in addition to Obama getting it right and not screwing up because this is, you know, we all know how the right will react. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way. You know, I get that cringe every time a report comes through that's not completely thorough or that's kind of half-assed.
Yeah.
That I know the right will just grab onto with both hands and say, see, there it is. It's like, please, guys, you know, I mean, I know that it's, you know, it's a bad old cliche. You know, you hear both the left and the right say, you know, report the truth, guys. Be fair. Report the truth. That's all we want.
Yeah.
But it's like you really do kind of want, like, look, you know what? You'd better be thorough. If your reporting is thorough and honest, then fine. I got no issue with it.
It was exactly like when the AP story broke. Remember? Everyone was on Twitter and online. Even respectable, very serious journalists were online saying, oh, my God, wiretaps, bugging. And it had nothing to do with wiretaps or bugging. They were just subpoenaed phone records. That's what it was all about. But everyone was led to believe because Drudge posted some wacky headline in which he conflated the AP situation with wiretaps.
Right. But that's where we are. Again, how many times do I talk about this? We're, you know, 140 character attention span. We read headlines now. We just go with that. I think half the crap that people respond to, they don't even bother reading beyond the first two paragraphs.
That's right. That's right.
You know, it's like, oh, well, you know what? Here's the story. And not only is here's the story as reported from an outlet that's going to confirm my already very firmly held biases.
Yep. That's right.
Must be what this means.
And the correction takes place after it's too late, which ended up being the situation with ABC News. And thank God, finally, Jake Tapper does something right. Jake Tapper at CNN, we're going to get into what he did right after our last break, back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
So on the 14th, which is yesterday, Jake Tapper, we're recording this, by the way, on the 15th, so it was yesterday, Tuesday, sort of had a groundbreaking story, or just, I think, the real bombshell story in all of this. At least with regards to the ABC News quote-unquote exclusive, which, by the way, Jonathan Carl took to his own blog the next day, referred to his own reporting as having quote-unquote rocked the political world.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's what this guy's all about. He's about self-aggrandizement. He wanted to have a story that would rock the political world, so he put together a bunch of specious crap and called it an exclusive. Posted it, everyone freaked out, and it turned out to be nothing. Well, Jake Tapper proved that it was nothing. Turns out that Jonathan Carl had reported that they based the entire reporting on the actual emails. The actual emails between the State Department and the CIA. Turns out it wasn't. They weren't actual emails. They were described to him by his obviously Republican source.
Yeah, there you go.
So Jake Tapper had the actual email, and it showed information that was completely different than the cherry-picked, selectively edited information that Jonathan Carl reported.
You know, that's sort of the same thing that I, you know, it's a different kind of story, but that was where my hang-up was. You know, believe me, this is a stretch, but it's not that much of a stretch. That was my hang-up when I first heard that thing about the Tosh rape comment.
Uh-huh.
Was the fact that it wasn't coming from, it wasn't like a recording like we had of Michael Richard Michael Richards at the Laugh Factory. It was being told not by the person who actually heard it, but by her telling it to someone else.
Yeah.
So you're getting second, third, fourth hand information. And yeah, and that's all it takes is that. All it takes is, you know, and especially, yeah, if you're hearing it from somebody who already has it in their mind that they know what they want the story to sound like, you know, come on.
Exactly. Well, and we also know too here that
that can't be trusted.
That it's very clear that Jonathan Karl was being used as a pawn by someone who wanted to perpetuate the Benghazi gate conspiracy.
Right.
So he gets these emails, right?
You know what though? He rocked.
Jonathan Karl rocked the political world. He rocks. He's a monster of rock.
He is.
But clearly, And you got to think, who exactly had the actual emails? Well, Republican members of Congress had the actual emails. Some other people had certainly circulated around. So he's being dictated and summarized about these messages back and forth between CIA and State Department as they scramble to prepare simply what goes on to the Sunday morning shows, which no one watches. Yeah. So this is the tempest in the teacup, right? Talking points that were supposed to be for the Sunday morning shows. Ultimately, not that big a deal. Certainly not the centerpiece of the entire Benghazi situation.
Sure.
So here's Matt Gaetz reporting for Media Matters. ABC News is now claiming that its Benghazi exclusive was based on summaries of emails between administration aides, not the emails themselves, an assertion belied by their earlier reports. CNN's Jake Tapper reported on May 14th that he had obtained an email sent by White House aide Ben Rhodes that, quote, differs from how sources inaccurately quoted and paraphrased it in previous accounts to different media organizations.
Right.
By the way, I got to add, I just got to say this. You know, Jake Tapper, he's risen quite high into the media stratosphere.
He has.
He cannot write to save his life. When I first saw his report at CNN, I'm reading this and struggling to find out what he was trying to say. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Either he's a terrible writer or what he wrote was carefully vetted and carefully edited so that it was...
That can happen.
It was so wordy and awkward. It was difficult to discern what exactly he was trying to say. But what he was trying to say is that, you know,
That's a possibility because, yeah, I mean, my immediate thought is that, I mean, a lot of times if you're the host of a show, I mean, certain hosts do write a lot of their own stuff, but there are quite a few who really don't. You know, you have writers on those shows. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it was obvious that either he was having trouble describing what exactly happened or he was in a hurry or something. Just gets frustrating, though, when there's something that ought to be very clear, very clearly outlined and spoken, whether text or in a TV report or on a podcast, is just completely bungled and therefore generally ignored. So while the ABC News piece, the original Jonathan Karl piece from Friday, became this bombshell that rocked the political world.
Yeah.
The subsequent Jake Tapper correction to that story, the, you know what, Jonathan Karl's full crap, here's why story, is then buried and ignored. It's kind of like the Fox News process of fact-checking.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to say whatever the hell we want to say. It's like the great SNL sketch or series of sketches about Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
Where they say a bunch of crap and then issue the list of corrections in fast motion in text form scrolling up the screen, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hilarious. That's a completely unethical way to behave, and I've seen, it's funny, you don't usually see that, or at least you didn't until Fox came along. You don't usually see that from a national network.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing that happens. It happens quite a bit in, like, local. What'll happen is, but they do it local, they'll do it with breaking news. So what they'll do is they'll just report anything. You know, we got breaking news about the crash on I-95 and 1,800 people dead. And then, you know, the half an hour later, it's like two. But, you know, there's your correction. But by then it's too late. It doesn't matter anyway. So, yeah, that's a classic unethical news thing to do.
It's funny that CNN broke that story about the ABC News reporting being so shoddy.
Good, when in fact, actually, CNN, good. I'm glad because it's very, very rare that there's sort of like this. Fox may have changed things, honestly. But for a long time, it was very rare for there was sort of like a gentleman's agreement between news organizations that they didn't take down each other's work.
Yeah. Well, it's odd that CNN, because CNN is basically one of the more guilty parties when it comes to reporting bad information too rapidly.
Right. Oh, no crap.
I mean, whether it was the Boston Marathon situation saying they had a dark-skinned male in custody or whatever, and they really didn't, or if it was Obamacare has been repealed by the Supreme Court and when it really wasn't.
Oh, exactly. Yeah,
it happens all over the place there. But yet, finally, maybe they're actually going to start taking a serious look at what some other reporters are doing, you know, because I mean, it's going to be required. I mean, we're going to be knee deep in this crap for months, if not years. I mean, certainly with Benghazi, Hillary Clinton decides to run for president, it's going to be Benghazi around the clock. If that happens, yeah. So we're going to, I mean, there's going to be,
really, it is times like these, Bob, where I'm like, this is what I talk about when I mean, and I know that it's times like these when you should really be stepping up, but it's times like these actually where it's so frustrating and it hurts my head so much that I tend to detach from politics.
Yeah.
Because it is so, the crazy is so overwhelming and the cacophony and the oh my God, scandal over every little thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It just makes your head hurt.
Here's something that will make your head hurt, Chaz.
Oh, I'm sure. Thanks.
PPP did a poll about Benghazi, and here's what they reported.
Oh, yeah. I love this. This is a beaut.
Yeah, this is great. One of the interesting things about the voters who think Benghazi is the biggest political scandal in American history is that 39% of them don't even actually know where it is. 10% think Benghazi is in Egypt. 9% think it's in Iran. 6% think it's in Cuba. 5% think it's in Syria. 4% think it's in Iraq. And 1% or 1%
it's its own country.
1% think it's in North Korea. The other 1% think it's in Liberia.
Wow.
4% don't even know. They're not even going to guess.
The rest think it's in Cleveland.
That's right. 39% of the people who think it's the biggest political scandal in American history don't know where Benghazi is. I mean, that's one of the pieces.
They think that LeBron has been traded to Benghazi.
One of the things I wrote about in the Daily Banter this week about Benghazi included some very important information, which was to delineate that Benghazi was a different country or different city than Cairo in a completely different country, 695 some odd miles away. Because when the CIA warned the administration and the State Department on September 10th that there was going to be trouble at the embassy in Cairo, well, everyone thought, well, that's clearly they're talking about Benghazi when they weren't. That was the big flaw in the ABC News report, going back to that.
Yeah.
But it's just, you have to define where these things are. And there's something else I'm going to talk about in terms of just Republicans acting like morons. I mean, stuff that they ought to know. I think,
but you know, when Bush was in office, they were always ready on 9/11.
Yeah. By the way, the Bush administration made this, according to Politics USA, made 935 false statements about Iraq in the 2 year span after 9/11.
I love it. Yeah. That's good.
935 false statements.
That's good. That's pretty brilliant. I like that somebody bothered to sort of collate that. Good.
I do not envy those people. They had to sit there and count 935 different false statements about Iraq.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, that's fascinating. It's like that. It's like the piece that you wrote for Banter that got huge, you know, huge numbers. Because, you know, I mean, look, you can always make the argument that, oh, it's different because, you know, a U.S. ambassador was killed. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But I promise you that any of those would have been a big deal on Obama's watch. Any of them at all.
Oh, you know what? This is the Center for Public Integrity and the Fund for Independence and Journalism. They did a study about this. They concluded, quote, the false statements dramatically increased in August 2002 with congressional consideration of a war resolution, then escalated through the midterm elections and spiked even higher from January 2003 to the eve of the invasion. In short, the Bush administration led the nation to war on the basis of erroneous information that it methodically propagated and that culminated in military action against Iraq in March of 2003. Study's conclusions were further reinforced when former Bush White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan wrote, quote, top Bush aides had outlined a strategy for carefully orchestrating the coming campaign to aggressively sell the war. In the permanent campaign era, it was all about manipulating sources of public opinion to the president's advantage. According to the study, then President George W. Bush made 232 false statements about Iraq and former leader Saddam Hussein's possessing weapons of mass destruction, and 28 false statements about Iraq's links to al-Qaeda. President George W. Bush and seven of his administration's top officials, including Vice President Dick Cheney, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, made at least 935 false statements in those 2 years following September 11, 2001, about the national security threat posed by Saddam Hussein's Iraq. On at least 532 separate occasions, Bush and these three key officials, along with Secretary of State Colin Powell, Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz, and White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer and Scott McClellan, stated unequivocally that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction or was trying to produce or obtain them, links to al-Qaeda, or both. Jesus. That is, you know, that's scary, especially knowing what exactly happened after that. What happened after that are tens of thousands of American military casualties, including 4,500 dead soldiers, countless Iraqi civilians.
Man.
They're lining up already. It's coming up on a dozen different Republican lawmakers in Congress who want to impeach the president about, you name it, Benghazi, the AP, IRS, stuff that he had nothing to do with. These are direct examples. This is bringing our entire show full circle to what we were talking about in the beginning. This is direct deception coming from the Oval Office and the top secretaries in the national security apparatus. Colin Powell, Paul Wolfowitz, Dick Cheney. This is not some guy in Cincinnati issuing a subpoena for phone records, or a bunch of guys in Ohio looking for guys who are trying, organizations trying to evade taxes.
Right.
You want real scandals? Take a look at the previous administration. There's your real scandals right there. Right there.
Right.
Doesn't take much examination. Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because there's a liberal in the White House, and, you know, got to take him down. Got to get revenge for Watergate. Got to get revenge for Iran-Contra. Got to get a revenge for everything that was said about the Bush administration.
That's where we are.
That's exactly where we are. It's just, you get to a point where you're just absolutely speechless, and you have nothing else to say about it. But I actually have plenty more to say about it. I mean, I'm working on a piece for tomorrow, man. Holy crap.
Oh, good.
I don't know if you know this.
I'm glad, because chances are I'm not going to be writing something for tomorrow.
Well, the wing nutosphere is exploding again on about a CBO report regarding Obamacare. And you say, well, your eyes kind of glaze over. You say CBO, Obamacare, all that crap. It's not the IRS. It's not Benghazi, the AP. It's Obamacare. But this is going to infuriate anyone who reads it, because it's absolutely absurd. It's deliberately deceptive, if not completely idiotic. I mean, members of Congress are involved in this deception.
Yeah.
I mean, they're willing to do it. They're willing to just lie. Or else, even the more frightening prospect is that members of Congress, members of the press, don't know the difference, or just simply don't know how to read a CBO report. Basic numbers and charts. That's frightening. I'm going to talk about that on the Daily Banter tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit on the after party, because there's some stuff that we didn't get to on the show, on the free show, that we'll have to bump over into the after party. So if you're not subscribed, go to the blog, bobsesca.com, go to the after party link. And it's very easy to do. If you have a PayPal account, or even if you don't, you sign up. $6 a month. You can cancel at any time. So, in fact, you can go in and you can download all the shows and then cancel your subscription. You won't get the new ones, but at least you'll have a bunch of the old ones.
Right.
And it's completely uncensored. It's all the stuff that we can't talk about on the free show. We don't get to, or stuff that we just want to talk about with our most intimate friends and things we probably shouldn't be saying in public.
Yeah, that's pretty much everything I say.
So that's coming up Thursday at noon Eastern on the blog. It's the after party. See you then. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Yeah.